are you all enjoying the heat out there?
We have winter, Pastor.
Texas heat. It can be kind of warm. I know I had, I went somewhere. Oh, I took the girls to the pool, and their clock kind of melted. It's like the third clock this year. You know, it's one of those clocks that kind of go around it. It kept breaking, doesn't work, and you look and it's like it's warped because it's always facing the sun. So, and then I told the girls, well, look, I can't swim in the sun because I don't want to get sun. So I gotta stay in the shade. But you know what? It can be hot weather-wise, but as long as we're serving the Lord, we should be fervent for Him. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, I'm thankful for worshiping the Lord indoors and for air conditioning.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
But we're going to talk today about something that I think is really important, and I don't want us to think of it as too basic or simple. You know, sometimes in life, we can, because we know something or we've heard something, we can think we're doing the something that we know is so basic or simple, yet the basics is what you call the basics. It's a foundation. It's something you're supposed to build on. And if I said, you know, what are the basics of, you know, eating, we should know what that is. We should know what those things are, but even if we know what they are, it's good to eat your vegetables and your fruits and vegetables. I call it the organic fruits and vegetables, you know, what have you. It's important to recognize or to know that I can know that's true, but I need to do it. I know my vitamins are important, but if I just put them under my pillow and they're close to me when I sleep, it's not going to help me, right? In the same way, we have our spiritual vitamins that we take. We read our chapter every day, Monday through Friday. And as we read that, we do so with the purpose of feeding our spirit. But that's very important. And we know, like, I remember, it doesn't matter how big your Bible is if you don't read it. You know, they got some really big King James versions. And a family Bible, they call it, and it sits on the table in the living room, and nobody reads it, but it's the family Bible. It's all dusty, right? You know, it hasn't been open for a decade. I have this guy, you know, acquaintance. He says, look at my Bible's from 1780 something. So it's a nice Bible. I mean, it was like early 1800s. I said, but, and he goes, like, well, do you read it? He goes, no, but it's a nice Bible. But we want to go back to the basics today, amen?
Amen.
So we're going to look at some things that are fundamental to our faith. But again, I don't want us just to base it upon our experience or our education. I want us to look at it with an open mind and open heart. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. And we come today, Lord, to you, to your word, with ears that are open, ready to hear your word, and hearts that are ready to receive, so that our lives can be changed, that we're not just a hearer, but a doer of your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Hebrews 11:6, it says this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, to please God. For whoever comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him out. So first and foremost, you notice the scripture says that without faith, you cannot please God. Now, there are a lot of things that are important in life, but here, you would have to consider faith as being really towards the top. Why? Well, because without it, you cannot please God. Now, that in and of itself is fine, but if we don't know what faith is, you know, we'll look at the biblical definition. But if we don't know what something is, then how do we know if we're doing it or not?
Sure.
You know, like we sing this song, I'm the Righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. And one time, I was standing next to this lady, I said, what does righteousness mean? Because everyone goes, I'm the righteousness of God. I said, that's good. What does that word mean? I asked her. She goes, I don't know. Well, how can you be excited about something that you don't know what it is? Or how can you benefit if you really don't have an understanding of what it means to be righteous? And I can define it for you. It means to come to or stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or fear or inferiority or weakness or shame. Jesus, you can come before God because of what Jesus has done for you. So even if you've messed up some things, you're not coming to God based on your own works or your own credit or your own merit. You're coming to Him based upon what Jesus has done. So when you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, you got to add that part, right? Mm-hmm. Not in me, but in Him. Then you shouldn't feel, you think when Jesus stands before the Father, He feels intimidated or weak or shameful? No. And He gave you that right standing. So here He says this, without faith, you cannot please God. So basic number one, basic tip, back to the basics. Number one is simply this. Faith is required to please God. You and I need faith in order to please God. Now, I know this sounds really basic. Everyone says, this is boring. I got this. Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. But I want us not just to know it, but I want us to what? Live it.
Right.
I want us to think about this because in our culture, in our society today, people are giving up their faith in God for something else or someone else or for whatever reason. So here you have to understand that we must believe that we have to have faith in order to please Him. Now, I will say it this way. There's two parts to this faith. Two parts. Go to the next slide, please. So, basic part of number two is belief is needed. You mean, what do you mean belief? Well, it says here that without faith you cannot please God. Why? Because they that come to Him must believe that He exists.
Yes.
And that He's real. So the first thing you got to do, or I have to do, the first thing we need to do, is identify, we come to God, we must believe that He is, and that He is real, that He exists, right?
Yes.
Romans says it this way. Now don't assume that everybody believes in God. Don't assume that everybody knows that God exists or wants Him in their knowledge. Don't take that for assumption. And Romans 1, verses 21 and 28 say it this way. Because when they knew and recognized Him as God, they did not honor and glorify Him as God or give Him thanks. This is getting where, you know how you read something in the Bible, then you turn on the news or internet, TV, whatever, and it's basically doing the same thing that you just read in the Bible. People insisting on their rights not to want to believe in God or take the Ten Commandments away. We don't want the Bible in school. We don't want God on our money. We don't want God in this. We don't believe in Him. Well, can that please Him? No, that cannot please Him. But instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking with vain imaginations. Their reasoning was foolish. And they had stupid speculations. This is Amplified Version. And their senseless minds were darkened. Right? Why? Well, if you reject light, what else is there? Darkness. So if God, who is light, says, I'm real, here I am, and you say, no, I don't want that, you're rejecting light. So the only thing that is available to you is darkness. Mm-hmm. Darker darkness. So why would you reject light? Well, you have that right. You have that choice. But is this going to please God? No. But the whole world, a lot of people in the world, reject Him. Then verse 28 says it this way. Since they do not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of Him or consider Him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind that they do things that are not proper or decent, but loathsome, or do evil things. So you see, there are individuals who not only do not want to believe in God, they don't even want to take the time to try and get to what? To know Him. Not only do they not want to believe, but they don't even want to get to know Him. So without faith, you can't please Him. Why? Because one, you got to believe that He is and that He exists. And if they don't even want to get to know God, now I'll flip it around. Here's the question. How do you feel if somebody doesn't want to get to know you? Or they don't care if you exist? I don't care if you exist. Well, I'm a nice guy. I want to help you. I don't care. I don't want to know you. I don't care. I'm unfriending you from everything. I'm deleting you from my phone. You ever do that to someone? You go, okay, you made me mad. I am blocking you. No, better. I'm not just blocking you. I'm going to delete you from my phone. You ever delete God from your phone? If heaven was calling, He won't be calling you now. So don't answer, right? He won't text you. But why would people do that? Well, they have the right to do it. They can do what they want to do. But how would you feel, or how would it make me feel, if people didn't care if you existed? Or they don't care about your opinion? Or they don't care about you? Does that please you? No. How about if your kid said, I don't care about you? That please you? No. Now there's a problem. And yet people do this with God all the time, and they act like it's no big deal. And this goes back to, what can we do, the basic, the very foundation, what can we do to please God? Well, first, He says you have to have faith, but you got to believe that He is. Right? Amen?
Amen.
So first, you have faith. Second is believe that He is, that He exists. And third, you have to believe God is a rewarder. Now, I will say it this way. I think the first two are pretty simple in one sense. You can believe that God exists. You can have faith. Say, okay, there's a God. It kind of makes sense because He created, somebody had to create the creation, right? You know, a phone doesn't just appear one day. Somebody had to create it. Somebody had to design it. That makes sense. But then it says, I'm supposed to believe that God exists, that He's current today. Not like He made it last year and He died, or 1,000 years ago, but He's still current. Make sense? He didn't go away. He's still here today. He's still relevant today.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah. So He's still relevant today. But number three, basics. The basic point is, believe God is a rewarder. That's the second part of the verse. Of those who diligently seek Him. As I mentioned, I think this is the tougher part. Because it's easy for people to come to God and believe that He is. But it's not so easy to be diligent in seeking Him. What does diligent mean? Like, you're on top of it. You're searching for Him. You're like a disciple for Him. Right? You care more about, you don't care just as much about being saved. That's great. But you want to serve. You want to serve Him. Amen?
Amen?
You don't want to just be forgiven. You want to forgive others.
Yes.
You want to take it another level. You want to go further. You want to read your chapter a day, Monday through Friday, and be happy about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, I got to read my Bible. I know we sometimes speed read, right? Pick a verse, like we do that with the girls. What's your favorite verse out of John 10? Jesus wept. Can you explain that to me? It's short, it's simple. He cried. He was sorry. Okay. All right. I get it, girls. So we do that with our girls. We sit them down, say, okay, we got to read our chapter today, Monday through Friday. This is important. And so we read our chapter, and we kind of split it up. And so, but this is our way we could show that we're diligently seeking Him. Now, why do people not diligently seek Him? I'll tell you why. It is because, right here he tells us, they really don't believe that He's a rewarder. They really think, you know, like somebody once told me, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my week serving God because I want to, I don't want to waste my weekends because I have to come into church because I have to work all week. And I want something for me. Well, great. Now we know where you are. What do you mean? You're wasting? You think you're wasting something? When He's saying, if you will diligently seek me, you will get a what? Reward. But how many people, you don't have to, like, not here in this room, but other people that you know, they don't believe God will reward them for anything. They don't believe God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So what happens? You grow weary, you grow weak, you grow tired, and people what? Quit? Or they give up. Or something bad happens in your life, and like, well, God, I went to church, I read my Bible, I did this. And then you give up. Or you quit. Or somebody does you wrong, and you think, well, if God really loved me, He wouldn't let that happen. Well, how many people have you done wrong? If God really loved them, how come He didn't stop you? Mm. Amen?
Amen.
So, here's the math. We're going to look at the math. Someone says, I don't like math. This is easy. This one's easy. Next slide. Okay. So, the biblical basic faith math is this. You believe that God exists, and you believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. You know, at some point, we're going to go through some Bible examples, but at some point, you got to think like this. No matter what's going on in the world, Lord, I'm for You. I don't, you know, recently, I mean, I don't know, maybe people bring things to my attention. I'm not really on Facebook. I like to be in the faith book, not on Facebook. That's pretty good. But people bring up, so-and-so said this. So-and-so was a big pastor somewhere, and he's no longer saying he's a Christian. He recanted his faith. And then this guy comes out and says, I'm no longer a Christian, and I'm giving up. Hey, that doesn't matter to me.
Yes, right.
You know why? Because my faith wasn't in them.
Yes, right.
Or in their experiences.
Amen.
Or in their, what, education?
That's right.
No, my faith is in what? The epistles.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Word.
Yes.
My faith isn't in what somebody else says or does. It's in Christ.
Yes.
And so why should I be moved? You know, like somebody sent me something, so I read it. And one person said, I was a pastor over thousands of people, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, and there's Christians who are mean. I'm like, well, yeah, I know that. No big deal. And there's other people who aren't mean, who aren't Christian. Yeah, okay, well, I know that too. What does that got to do with anything? And he said, and I think we should just love people. Wait a minute, stop. That's what Jesus said. But you just said you don't believe in Him, so you can't use what He just said.
Right.
Because you don't believe in Him anymore. He's the one that said love people and forgive. But now you're saying we're supposed to just love people and forgive. But you can't, because you say you don't believe in Him. That was His message. You understand? My faith, my confidence, my hope isn't in people. It's in Christ.
Yes.
Jesus is the one that died for us.
Yes.
Amen? So here He says, He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. If you think, God, am I going to get paid back for this? Well, if God's word is true and you keep diligently seeking Him, He will what? Reward you. But I know a lot, see, I don't want to say I know a lot of people because I don't know a lot of people per se. But I know most Christians, in a sense, they believe that God is real and they love God. But do they believe part B of this equation? One, are they diligently seeking Him? And two, do they really believe He's a rewarder of those who do so? When you serve God, say, well, I don't want anything because I just want to serve God. That's great. But he told you to be a believer that he will reward you if you diligently seek him. You can't let that out of the equation. You're not doing something just for nothing. You're doing it with the right heart. You're loving God. But you're looking to him for your what? Your reward. And he said, if you diligently seek me, he will what? Reward you. He will do it. Don't look to people.
Right.
Look to him.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
So look at an example. We're going to look at a couple of examples here. And just keep in mind, we have to believe that God exists, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we know he exists, then all we got to do is what? Believe that he will reward us for diligently seeking him. And how does he reward us, by the way? There's all kinds of ways. But, you know, I was thinking about this as we're still alive today. We can still say, thank you, Lord, for being good to me. We can give him our praise. Amen?
Yes.
There's always people who got more problems than you got.
Yeah.
Right? And how are you going to get more of something that you want? He'll give you favor. He'll increase you. He'll help you. He'll supply for your needs. But here's an example. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to go from verse 25 to 34, but we have just a couple different slides up on the screen for you. So there was a woman who had an issue of blood, or flow of blood, for 12 years. She was bleeding for 12 years. And she endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians. And she spent all that she had, but she was no better, and she grew worse. You ever notice that? Sometimes you could spend a lot of money with doctors, but you grow no better, and you grow worse. Why? Because now you also spend all your money.
Yes.
Doesn't say they can't help you. They're doing their best, right? Usually. They're doing their best. But she wasn't getting any better. So she had heard the reports, verse 27, concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd of throng of people, and she touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I can only touch his garments, I will be restored to health. Verse 29, and immediately the flow of blood that was in her, that was the sickness or the disease, the source of it, she felt that she was been healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus recognized in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth. He turned around immediately to the crowd, and he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples, verse 31, kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking to see who had done it. So this is interesting because she believed in Jesus. She's diligent about seeking him. Why? There's a crowd of people. She's got this blood disease. She's bleeding. She's not supposed to be in public. But she keeps pressing through the crowd. And she keeps saying something. This is huge. She keeps saying, if I can just touch him, I'll be made well. She's keeping that before her. You know, people, you crawling on the ground, people stepping on your fingers, right? Kicking you, falling on you, you know, whatever. You're trying to push through people elbowing you, you elbowing people. She's thinking, what? I got to get to Jesus. If I can just touch him. See, when she said I can touch the hem of his garment, that kind of gives me the idea she's not standing up going through this crowd. She's on the ground crawling because she's thinking, if I can just see it, if I can get to him. And we don't know how long this took, but we know she was diligent in doing it. And what happened when she touched him? You know, the saying, when she touched him, he touched her. She was rewarded, what? Healing for touching him. She got a reward. And the disciples, now think about this for a moment. The disciples are saying, Jesus, seriously? You keep asking the question, who touched you? Look at all the people touching you. All these people touched you. Look it, they're touching you now. But nothing happened to them. Why? Well, maybe they're just doing a photo op or a selfie. Hey, come on, I want to get a picture with Jesus. They're not diligently seeking him, and they're not believing that there's a reward for doing so. But this woman says, hey, if I can get to him and I can touch him, I'll get healed. This is huge. In your life, you think, Lord, if I can just get direction from you, I can find the answer. You ever know the Bible says wisdom cries out? Wisdom, the word of God says, hey, dummy, I'm over here. You think, well, I don't know what to do. I'm kind of dumb in it. He said, don't stay dumb. Yeah. I got your answer in here.
Right.
He's calling out to you. You're supposed to be what? Calling out to him. You ever see, you know how animals do that? You ever see, like, sometimes you watch Animal Kingdom, and this lion's looking for the cub, or this, you know, cheetah's looking for the baby cheetah, and the mom will say something, whatever the cheetah mom says, you know, and then baby cheetah's over there, and then they hear each other. She starts walking toward the baby cheetah, and then cheetah just keeps echoing. When the mom calls, it'll call. And eventually they meet up. You ever think that's like God calling out to you? Like, hey, you need help? I'm over here.
Yes.
And then you say, God, help me. Mm-hmm. And he says, go to the Word. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. What now? What now, God? Calling out to him. Diligently seeking him.
Yes.
Why? Because he loves you. And he says, I'll be your reward. Remember, he says, seek and you shall what? Find. Well, if I haven't found, that means I just have to keep what? Seeking. Keep looking, keep finding until it manifests. To be diligent. Not to quit just because you haven't got it. To say, well, I'm going to find it. You ever lose something in your house? Some people, don't cry. Don't cry. It's okay. The Lord can bring it back if you lost it for good. You know, he'll bring it back. But what do you do? If you know it's there, now I remember one time I bought my wife a ring. And she goes, I don't know where my ring is. And I was just doing something kind of nonsense, you know. Like, I don't even know, this is before we had kids. Maybe we had one. But I'm just sitting there messing around with something. And she goes, have you seen my ring? I said, it should be on your finger. She goes, no, I took it off and I put it somewhere. And I'm thinking, whoa, stop everything. Stop everything. You don't know where that is? We got to stop everything until we find it. This is good. No, I can't do anything else now. I got to think about this ring. I'm going to be diligent till we find it. Where were you? What did you do? Yeah. When did you take it off? When did you remember you took it off? How many days has it been? You know, I got to know. And then I'm not going to really say sleep. And that's going to be on the forefront of my mind. Because I want to find that thing that's supposed to be so precious to me. Well, what about our relationship with the Lord? Shouldn't that be precious to us? Knowing we get a what? Reward? If we believe that he's faithful, he's the one that will be faithful. As we diligently seek him, he will increase us. He will help us. He'll supply for us.
Yes.
Why would I want to be messing around with something else? If I believe he really is a rewarder, if I will diligently seek him, I won't be messing around with other things. I got no time for that because I'm trying to what? Diligently seek him because I'm expecting a reward. Sometimes in my life, I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that he's a rewarder. Because you go through things, you feel you're under persecution, or people say this or say that, or you might get tired physically. Or you might be praying a long time over something, and you could forget that he's a rewarder, and the devil's trying to talk you out of being diligent, trying to talk you into quitting, trying to talk you into something wrong, and you can't listen to him. You have to go back to the word and say, he's a what? Rewarder. You look here, there were so many people that were hindering this lady from diligently seeking Jesus. Why? Because they don't care if she gets a reward, but she cares. So you and I should care. Hey, I got to be diligent about this. You know, sometimes, like, not very often, but once in a while. When I read my chapter a day, I want to be, like, focused on it, right? So sometimes I think I'll put it off a little bit. Not very often. I usually get it done in the morning. But one or two times, I remember I had to do the old speed read, or I didn't do it. Please pray for me. But I didn't do it. Then I have to question myself. Wait a minute. Now this is nothing. This is just between me and the Lord, right? What or why was my day so busy that I couldn't get my chapter in? What's my priorities? Now I have to, you know, I have to look at me. I think, wait, no, that's not right. I have no excuse. You understand? I'm not under condemnation. I'm not feeling like overly guilty. But I want to know, what am I doing that hindered me from reading the word? Why did I think I could put it off? Like, it's no big deal? Does that, if I'm putting off the word, am I putting off my reward? I don't want to do that. No. So I want to get back in the word. Amen? All right, so look at another example we have here in Scripture. Next, one more. So, go back one minute. Here's what you could see. This is the Jesus, an amplified version, verse 34. He said to her, daughter, your faith, or your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. This is important. Now, whose faith was it? It was hers.
Yeah.
He said, your faith did this for you. Your faith in me. And God is no respecter of persons. You know, maybe you got an unexpected bill or money that you owe. Or maybe it was expected and you just messed up, or I messed up, or whatever. God can help us out of that. If we put our faith, what? In him. You know, sometimes people say, well, you made that bed, you got a lie in it. You ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true with God. He'll help you get out of it. You just have to be, what? Diligent to follow him and believe that he'll help you out of it. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to have to pay for everything I ever did, good or bad. No, I don't want that. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy, right?
Yes.
I want his grace.
Yes.
I want his righteousness, right? He gave it to me, so I don't have to pay that bill. So, like my daughter, she's in college now. She'll be like, we talked. And she said, I don't know, she brought up, she goes, Dad, I still got a quarter of her tank. I'm like, I filled up the gas for you before I left. It can get 450 to 500 miles per tank. Where are you going? What are you doing? It's only been a week, right? She goes, well, I don't know, I didn't really go, I just went one place. I'm like, what are you, talk to me. We got to fix this. She goes, well, it's just under a quarter. I said, okay, wait a minute. When you say it's under a quarter, are you talking from the full line or from the E line? Full or empty? She goes, well, hold on. It's from the F down. I said, you don't have a quarter. You only used a quarter of a tank. You still got three quarters of a tank. It's like if you have four quarters and you spent one quarter, you still got three quarters. That's how we talk about gasoline in a car, my dear. Don't go the other way and say you'll have less than a quarter, because you don't. You went. It was hard to explain. I'm trying to explain it to her. She's like, well, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, I gotta breathe. So what I'm saying is this, is that when we look at what Jesus has done for us, we don't look at, like, I want to help her. She's what? My daughter. And so to help her, she will diligently ask me questions. Dad, what do you think? Can you help me with this? Why would I say no if I can help her and if it's my will? Right. Won't she be what? Rewarded?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And even if you didn't have a good earthly father, model father, a heavenly father, if you didn't have a good earthly father, you have a great heavenly father.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And he wants to take care of you and supply for you. He wants you to believe that he's a rewarder. If you will diligently, what? Seek him. He'll tell you the way to go. It may not make sense to you, but if you trust him, you'll get there. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so the next example was this. And now there's lots of examples. I just picked a couple. But there's also some examples of people who didn't believe that he was a rewarder for diligently seeking him. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and he said, I followed your words, I believe in you. And Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell what you have, give to the poor, follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he said he had a lot of stuff. But what's Jesus trying to get him to? I will reward you if you're diligently following me. But he didn't believe that part. But that's still true. Even if I may not believe it or you may not. Hey, God's word is what? Still true.
Yes.
So here's an example. Matthew 9, verse 27. We're talking about the basics, right? Okay, let me just ask you this question. You can raise your hand if you want. You don't have to. But have you ever, have you ever failed to believe that God was a rewarder if you would seek him? Right? Sometimes you feel like it's only on you, everything's coming out of you, and God doesn't notice, and he doesn't care, or he won't help you. But it says that he will what? Reward you. So, I mean, I got a friend. He, you know, don't be religious here, right? Don't be religious with me. But just, if you're real, you don't have to be perfect to receive from God.
Right.
I mean, we should do things that he tells us to do. But I have a friend, he hasn't always lived the best life, but he has this revelation that God loves him and that God will reward him for doing his best. I mean, you know, sometimes he cusses quite a bit, does different things. But he's like, but I know God loves me. He goes, I'm growing. But grow faster. He's like, grow faster. But he's like, man, God's blessing me. God loves me so much. Mm. He does anything I need. This is his mentality. Why would people who come to church all the time, why would we not think the same way?
Sure.
That God loves me so much, and if I'm diligent, he will reward me. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the enemy is always there to try to knock you down.
Yes.
But don't listen to him. Listen to the word. Right? So, Matthew 9, verse 27 says this. It says, Jesus passed from there, from where he was coming, I didn't want to go, he raised this little girl from the dead. And it says that two blind men followed him, shouting loudly. Now, when you read scripture, do you ever like, how can blind men follow him? I don't know. I'm trying to imagine the scenario, like in my mind. There's two blind men, they can't see, but they're following Jesus. Which is amazing because all the people who could see weren't necessarily following Jesus.
Right.
And they were shouting loudly, have pity and mercy on us, son of David. Now he just raised someone from the dead. They heard about that. They didn't see it because they were blind, but they heard it. And we see that faith comes by hearing. And they said, and now they're following him. I'm sure there's the crowd and they can hear where people are, or they had somebody helping them. They're shouting. What does a shout sound like? You know, like you ever get fed up with something and you just kind of shout?
Yeah.
Amen? I know, like if I get really fed up with something, I may not shout, I look to destroy something. Like, what can I break without it being too much of a consequence? Like, I'm looking, like, you know, like, my phone, no, I gotta buy new, I don't wanna do that. It's like, but you can be fed up with something, and they were fed up with the thing in their life that was causing them hindrance, causing them not to see, literally. And they were shouting, Jesus. And then they said, Jesus, could you please maybe help us out here? No, it said they were shouting loudly. Okay, they said, have pity and mercy on us. They went to Jesus, maybe you could not pass me by. Just pity and mercy. They didn't do that. They were loud. And he said, when he reached the house and he went in, the blind men came to him. Again, how are they coming? They're blind. But it doesn't matter, because when you're really, we're desperate. But when you are diligent, there is no obstacle that can stop you from reaching God, from reaching Jesus. It doesn't matter how low you think you are, he can bring you up.
Amen.
He said, Lord, I missed it. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. This is not your plan. Forgive me.
Yes.
And help me up, Lord.
Yes.
Look at Peter. Peter was walking on the water. He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. And what did he say? He cried out, Lord, save me. He didn't whisper, Lord, save me. No. He's like, hey, Jesus, save me. Obviously, I made a mistake here. It's like, why would you want to go down? Don't. Keep going down. Cry out and say, Lord, save me. I'm sorry. I missed it.
Yes.
You don't have to write 30 reasons why you missed it and analyze it. Don't do that. Say, I'm sorry. I missed it. But right now, I need you to lift me up.
Yes.
Amen. I need help. But here's what happened in this story. It says this. Do you believe? Jesus asked him this question. Do you believe that I can do this? This goes back to Hebrews 11:6. You must believe that he what is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So now they're looking for a reward. They've been seeking him. They've been diligent in following Jesus. And he asked him this question. Do you believe I can do this? Verse 28, they said to him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith and trust that you've invested in me, be it done to you. What happened? Next verse. So it says this, verse 30, their eyes were open, and Jesus charged them directly, don't let no one, or tell no one about this. But of course, they went out and told people about it. They were so excited. Like, we can't stop talking. Well, they could have, but then what happened was he couldn't go out openly and heal because everybody would come to him in droves, right? So here, the blind men who couldn't see Jesus, they received their sight. Why? Because they believed and they were diligent, knowing, hey, if we keep following Christ, we'll get the answer for the thing that we need in life. We'll get our what? Reward. Was God faithful to reward them? Yes. And you'll see all through Scripture, whenever people came to him, he would give them the answer for the thing that they need. He never told someone, I won't heal you. Never. Thousands and thousands of people, he never told one person, no, I won't. Now, there was, in his own hometown, he couldn't heal people because of their unbelief. They didn't believe in him. But it didn't mean that he didn't want to. So everybody who came to him, you see him being what? Healed or whole. Mm-hmm. Could he heal? Not, what do you think? Well, physically, I'm okay. Well, is your finances okay? Are the relationships you need restored? Jesus, you put your diligently follow and serve him, he will what? Reward you. Amen? Yeah. What happens to everybody else doesn't have to happen to you.
That's right.
You live in a bad place called earth. There's one way to get out. You don't want to do that yet. Right? When you leave your body, you leave the earth. But you got work to do for the Lord. And he wants to keep you and preserve you and help you and provide for you.
Amen.
And as you are faithful and say, Lord, I believe you are, and I believe you're a rewarder for those who diligently seek you. I'm going to diligently seek you, and I'll leave you up to the reward. Amen?
Amen.
So, Hebrews 6. Remember the promise. Next slide. There we go. For God is not unrighteous that he should forget your work and labor that proceeds of love. So God's not, he's not unfair. Right? This is which love you have shown in his name, you who have ministered to the saints, and you do still minister, that means to the body of Christ. Yes, and you desire that every one of you show the same diligence to secure your hope right to the end. So here again is the word diligence. That, verse 12, that you don't faint, but follow those who through faith and patience, they what? Inherit the promise. Or through faith and patience, they receive the reward. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't grow weary. Don't think God doesn't know, is what he's saying. He said, you will receive what? The promise. You will get the reward. And follow all those other people who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promise. Not just faith, that's part of it, but also what? Patience. You don't quit. You just keep going. Be consistent. Amen? For verse 37, go to Hebrews 10. Next slide. We're just about done. So, Hebrews 10 says it this way. So do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward. Now this is interesting because in light of this, even this past week's events, he says, don't throw away your confidence. Which means you could throw away your confidence. I don't like that, but it's possible. Because if it was impossible for you to throw away your confidence, he wouldn't tell you, don't. Does that make sense? You could cast off or throw away your confidence. If this is my confidence, I could do it this way. If the Bible was my confidence, I could throw it away. I could cast it off and go, I'm going to go through life without it. He says, don't do that. Because if it was impossible for me to do it, he would tell me, don't do that. Don't throw away your confidence. Which means the enemy is going to try to get you to get rid of your confidence in him. So he's reminding you, don't do that.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about something that we call basics, right? But is it not easy to cast away your confidence? Mm-hmm. When you're hit with all sides, all like the storms of life, mm-hmm. It could be easy to get your confidence might be what? Shaken? Or you're thinking, oh no, what's happening? I thought God loved me. The enemy's going after your confidence in God, in the promises of God. And his word says, don't allow that to happen. Why? Because you have a great reward. You got to remember the reward. Amen?
That's right.
There's a reward. So you think, wait a minute, the enemy's trying to get my confidence, telling me that God's not a rewarder. But I need that confidence so I can get the reward. It's kind of like if I won the lottery Now, we all play the lottery, right? Raise your hand every day. No, nobody? Okay, so just keep talking. But if I had a lottery ticket and I won, right? That's my redemption ticket that I need to claim my reward. As long as I have that ticket, I have confidence that I can redeem my reward.
Sure.
Now, I don't have confidence that the state might have the money to pay me. That's a different thing. But I need my coupon. I need my ticket to redeem my prize. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, if confidence and faith in God is your ticket to get the reward, your great reward that He wants to give you, you can't let go of your confidence in Him because it's tied to your reward. So here, he says, remember the great reward it brings you. Remember, right? Remember. So then it says this, next verse, or next part. It says, patient endurance is what you need so that when you will continue to do God's will, you will receive all that He has promised. For in a little while, the coming one will come. That means Christ. He will not delay. And he says, and my righteous ones will live by what? Faith. But I will take no pleasure. Now remember, this is important. He said, without faith, you can't please Him. And then verse 38, he says, I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Right? Well, someone goes, I want to please God. Then just remain confident and diligent, trusting in Him, that He will what? Reward you. Because He said, I'll take no pleasure. Those who turn away. Turn away from what? Turn away from their confidence and their diligence in serving Him, thinking He's not going to reward them. You know, He's a rewarder. You do what He asks, He will what? Reward you.
Amen.
He says, that doesn't make me happy when you turn away not believing that I want to help you. Not believing I will what? Reward you. Like, again, my daughter, if I told her, hey, next week you hang in there and I will send you some money. Well, if she called me one day before the week ended and she said, I don't believe you. I don't think you're going to send me any money. I would be like, ooh, I had it here. It's on its way, but now I'm canceling it. Until what? Until she gets back in faith, believing that I will reward her for doing what I asked her to do. Amen? So it's the same thing with God. He said, we are not like, now look at verse 39. We are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. Why would you do that? You got to, because there are those, he said, we're not like those. Which means what? There are those who turn away from God and they get destroyed. You and I don't want to be destroyed, right? So what do? We keep our confidence in God. He will keep us. It really doesn't matter who comes out and says, I don't want to go to church. I don't believe. That doesn't matter to me.
You're right.
I'm not going to end up like that. You understand? Doesn't mean I don't care about the person, but I didn't save them, and they didn't save me. That's a decision that they have to make. That's a decision that, hey, you're listening to the wrong voice there, buddy. You know, someone else is talking to you, and it's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen? So we are, now this is interesting. This is Paul preaching. He said, we are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. He's telling you, you are the faithful ones. You keep your confidence in God because you're the faithful ones, which means there will be some who what? Who aren't. Or who turn away. But that's not us. So you remember, it doesn't matter what other people do or say, because you don't know their whole life. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. What I know is we stay close to the Word. We stay dedicated to the Word. We be diligent reading the Word. Amen?
Amen?
We not only believe that He is, but we also believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So when there's problems going on in the world, say, Lord, I'm putting You first.
Yes.
You will protect me. Yes. You will keep me.
Yes.
Amen? I'll make it through.
Yes.
Even if you don't know how you're going to make it through, you know what? You'll make it through. See, your job or my job is to believe we'll make it through. It's not to figure out how.
Yeah.
He will keep me. He will protect me.
Yes.
I will make it. I'll make it the whole way. How do you know? Because He loves me. He said He would. Well, so-and-so died. I'm not so-and-so.
True.
You understand? He promised me He will get me through.
Yes.
You know, this even goes for those with kids, right? So, as a parent, there's times when you can be concerned over your kids. Like, my daughter going off to college, my first daughter, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, so much she don't know. Look at the gasoline thing, Lord. She don't know. That's just how you put gas in a car. Right? This is how you do this. This is how you do that. It's okay. I'm thinking, Lord, she just don't know. But I'm starting, if I'm not careful, I could take anxious thoughts and worries. So what I need to do is I need to roll the care over to Him. I said, Lord, You'll keep her because You love her. And I'm trusting You.
Yes.
I'm trusting You. I'm not trusting in me or any. I'm trusting in You.
Yes.
You'll keep my family members. You'll keep this person. You'll keep our loved ones. I'm trusting in You. And as you keep trusting, He keeps what? Keeping. And He keeps bringing you through. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You can go like that your whole life. Just keep going.
Yes.
Don't stop. Just keep going. Why? We know He will reward us because we believe that He is. We diligently seek Him. And He said, just here, don't lose your confidence. Keep trusting. Because He'll keep redeeming you. He'll keep protecting you. He'll bring you all the way through.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So don't cast away your confidence. Just remain strong in Him.
Yes.
Amen? Like Paul said, when the whole thing's done, he said, I finished my course.
Yes.
I ran my whole race. The Lord brought me all the way through. And if He did it for one, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. He'll do for me.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for today. We thank You for being good to us all the time. And Lord, helping us recognize areas in our life where the enemy comes to challenge us to disbelieve that You're a rewarder. If You'll get us to try to get our eyes off of You or our confidence off of You. But Lord, no, we believe in Your word. We thank You for You strengthen us and You remind us that there is a reward for serving You. There is great reward for being confident and trusting in You. And we purpose in our heart, Lord, just to go even higher in You, to do more, that You will grow us to the place, Lord, that You want us to be. Just keep growing us up in You. And we just thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so basics, right? These are the basics. Someone said, well, if that was basic, I'm pretty under basic. Well, that's okay. We just got to start there.
Yeah.
We talk about faith, people, this is basic. Yeah, but we have to believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You don't have to be perfect. And you know, the enemy will come and say, well, you weren't diligent enough. See, he's trying to get you to move away. And you just have to brush that off. Cast that thought down, right? Keep running and say, okay, I'll be more diligent then. I'll read 2 chapters a day, you know?
Yes.
I'll read the same chapter 3 times,
yes.
4 times, whatever. But doing it from a heart of love, right? Not of compulsion, like I have to, but because I want to. You know, I would just sum it up this way. When you're looking at God, it's not you got to, it's you get to.
Yes.
It's not I got to do this, I got to go to church. Oh man, God, go to church. You know what I'm saying? People, oh, I don't want to go to church. It's like, and that's the pastor, right? It's like, that's awesome. And the kids are like, come on, Dad, you got to go. You need to. Remember, Dad, you get to go. But if we look at, we get to be a part of what God's doing.
Yes.
And when that, we get to be confident in Him, we don't have to give that up for no one.
Yes.
No how. Amen?
Amen.
I don't think of, I got to, because that's kind of religious. But what I get to is relationship.
Yes.
Right? You see, God, I get to serve you, which means I got to get to. You know, I want to.
Yes.
Not because I have to, but I want to.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so my confidence isn't shaken when somebody says they're not going to be a Christian anymore. You just are part of verse 39. You just turned away to your own destruction. I'm not that one. I'm verse, the second half. I'm part of the faithful ones.
Yes.
That's us. The faithful ones, right?
Amen.
That we're the ones that says your souls will be saved. Why give up your salvation?
That's right.
You just don't know. He's a rewarder. So don't let that impact you. Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and get ready to take up our tithes and our offering. And if you need an envelope, raise your hand. If you don't need an envelope, that's okay. You know, I remember one time, by chance, this other church I was in, I asked for an envelope, and it was actually an offering already in my envelope. I thought, praise God, this is wonderful. Can I have another one? Oh, I like this church. This is great. Glory. But I said, hey, I gave it back. I said, look, you shouldn't be handing out offering envelopes with offerings in them. It's like, it's impressive, but I don't know if it's economically feasible. But God, when we give to Him, we give because we love Him. We get to give. You realize heaven is not counting on your money for its electric payment. It's got an electric bill, and they go, man, it sure was cold in heaven. We had a, you know, it was not hot like in hell, right? But God is not dependent on that. He's getting you so he's not forgetting what you're doing. He wants you to be involved and realize He's going to reward me greatly for what I do for Him here. I get to. And then I also get that reward that He's promised because I diligently seek Him. Amen? So, I just like, whatever is in your heart to give, that's what you give. You don't have to take up like a long offering. In fact, you know, sometimes we just give what we already gave. We gave, you know, this I gave at the office, but I gave at the house. I already wrote it out, put it in an envelope, prayed over it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you go forward. So hold your offering toward heaven. I'll just say a general prayer. You can say a specific prayer for what you believe in the Lord for. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give to you today. We give with a heart of joy. We thank you that we do have faith. We do believe that you are real and that you exist today. And yesterday you existed. Tomorrow you exist forever. And we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be a part of your family. And that we will diligently seek you. And we will remember that you are a rewarder of those who diligently put you first in every area of their lives. We thank you, Lord. We've been made righteous before you because of Jesus. We rejoice in that. And Lord, what we give today, we just give with a heart of gladness and joy, knowing that whatever we sow, you will give us opportunities to get it all back and then some. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a confession I started is God's bringing me extra. Yeah, I don't want just enough. I want extra. So I can be what? A blessing.
Yes.
A bigger blessing.
Yes.
Or God's helping me pay my bills down quicker.
Yes.
Amen. Or just whatever. Remember that lady had faith in him. And she kept saying, if I can just touch his garment. If I can touch his garment, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. I'll be healed. And what happened? She kept moving in that direction. She touched him and she was healed. Not only was she healed, but she was whole. See, just understand this, the difference, Annalisa, I thought we were done. We just took out the offering. Yeah, I know, but I want you to get this part. She was sick. The sickness went away, but sometimes sickness does damage to the body.
Yes.
So even though the sickness isn't there, the damage to the body was still there. So in her case, it said that she was healed and she was made whole.
Yes.
Means the damage was repaired.
Yes.
Like if something was wrong with a part of your body, and okay, I'm no longer sick, but there's still damage from that.
Yes.
Well, it said that she was made whole.
Yes.
So the damage was fixed too.
Yes.
Like the lepers.
Yes.
The lepers were cleansed. That some of them didn't have leprosy. But the one who came back and was thanking God, he said, you will be made whole. That means whatever part fell off is coming back.
Praise God.
So as you keep thanking God, this is huge. You know, as you keep thanking God where you are, keep thanking him for his goodness, he'll give you more to thank him for.
Amen.
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 All right. Any announcements?